The Psalms, chapter 37. Psalms, chapter 37. What he said about that, with no matter what you can do, God will always love you. It's right. I was saved as a six-year-old boy, and I thank the Lord for that. I grew up in a Christian family. I was in church 9 months before I was ever born. But I mean, for a couple years, I got out of that, and I didn't care. I was like, okay, this is... I was going to be a mechanical engineer, and I was like, all right, I'm just going to live my own life. I didn't care about Christ anymore. And then the Lord got a hold of me, and he called me to the mission field, and I thank the Lord for that. So no matter what is you're going on through, whatever you feel like, it's not based on your feelings. The Lord will always love you, and he's always going to be there for you. Amen. Psalms chapter 37. I'm going to read one verse out of Psalms 23, then I'm going to jump over there. Psalms 23, verse 1. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The first or second night of Jubilee? Someone got up here, I don't remember who it was, and he said there's this little girl that quoted this. Her Sunday school class was, they were quoting Psalms 23, and she got up, she had the first verse, and she said, the Lord is my shepherd, that's all I need. And that stuck with me. I was like, oh, that's all, God is all I need. And I had this one message prepared that I was going to preach, and last night on the way home, Pastor was like, be ready. And I got to thinking, I was going over the message, and the Lord's like, I'm all you need. He just kept saying that. So today I want to talk about the Lord is all I need. Before I turn to Psalms 37, let's pray. Dearly Father, thank you today. Thank you for all you've given us. I pray that you would give me the words that you want me to say. I pray that today, this morning, I pray that some lives would be touched. I pray that people, if they're not saved, I pray that they come to know you as their personal Savior. Like John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, it's a whosoever gospel, I thank you for that. I pray that they come to know you as their personal Savior, and I pray that lives would be changed, and I pray that you just give me the words to say in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, Psalms 37. I was thinking, so on the idea of God, or God's all I want, I'm going to start reading in verse 3 is where I'll start at. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. So I was thinking, if God's all I want, how do I want God? Or what do I want in God? And if you look in verse 3, the first of all, I need to trust in the Lord. That's all I want. I just want to trust in the Lord. And everything that I do, I want him to guide me in my walk in the Lord, in my life. This the Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not in thine understandings. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our paths. That's what I want. I want to trust the Lord in my personal life. Like, my car is got 300,000 miles on it. It's going, the transmission's going. I just need to trust in the Lord that, because I don't have a job right now, that I need to trust in the Lord that he's going to provide me a car. And then everything that we do, whether it's waking up in the morning, trust in the Lord that he's going to keep you safe during the day. Everything that we do, if we trust in the Lord and we lean not to our own understandings, he's going to guide your path. So that's what I was thinking. First of all, I want to trust the Lord, like verse 3 says. And then if you look down in verse 4, it says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. I was thinking, well, what else do I want? Well, I want to delight myself in the Lord. That's something that you might not always think that, okay, well, I'm going to trust the Lord or whatever and go on about my daily life, but to delight thyself in the Lord. Some people say that, I've got joy, I've got peace, but what about when the hard times come? What about when family members die or you go through hard times? You can still have that peace and that peace that passes all understandings and that joy if you want and you desire to delight thyself in the Lord. I got to thinking, well, where does our delight come from? Well, if you go to Psalms, you don't have to go there, but in Psalms chapter 1 and verse 2, I should have marked this, but... Psalms 1 and verse 2, it says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in the law doth he meditate day and night. So I was thinking, all right, well, our delight says there in the law of the Lord. Well, what's the law of the Lord? It's this right here. This is the law of the Lord. If we commit ourselves daily, if we trust in the Lord and we delight ourselves, and then if the delight comes from the Word of God. So every day, if you wake up in the morning and you open the Word of God and you just study it and you just tear it apart and you just apply it to your life, that's where the delight will come from. The more you're in here, the more delight that you'll have in the hard times. So I was thinking, first of all, I want to trust the Lord. And second of all, I want to delight myself in the Lord. But then if you look in verse 5, it says, commit thy way unto the Lord. It says, I also want to commit my way to the Lord. I want to commit myself, my personal life. That's another thing I want to do, is I want to commit myself to the Lord. Trevor, he's been called to the mission field, and the other couple weeks ago, he preached his first message here in the States. He was in Belize, and he preached some, but his first message in the States, he was talking about how he wants to, he's set for the defense of the gospel, or he's committed to the defense of the gospel. And I was thinking, well, I want to commit myself to the Lord, and then if I commit myself to the Lord, I'm going to commit myself to the gospel. And he mentioned Philippians 1:17. He turned there, and he got that verse. But the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. So I was thinking, I want to be set for the Lord. I want to be set for the defense of the gospel. And I want to commit to my faith. That's another thing. I not only want to commit to the furthering of the gospel, but I want to commit to my faith. In Luke 9:23, it talks about how we're supposed to daily take up our cross and follow him. So I was thinking, that's something else I want to do. I want to daily commit myself to the Lord. In Luke 9:23, it says, and he said unto them all, this is Christ speaking, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. It's not a one time I commit myself to the Lord. It's a every morning I wake up in the morning and I need to commit myself unto the Lord. So I want to trust the Lord. I want to delight myself in the Lord. I want to commit myself to the Lord. And then lastly, this is my favorite part. If you look down in verse 7, it says rest in the Lord. That's what I want. Our rest, our peace comes from the Lord. So I want to rest in the Lord. And I was thinking, it also says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. I don't know about you, but most of the time I'm pretty patient. I've just got a patient character or whatever. But sometimes there's some things that I'm not patient for. I want it, and I want it now. But it says you have to wait patiently on the Lord. So it's not going to come when you're not going to just wake up one morning and, oh, my trust is going to be perfect. My delight's going to be perfect. I'm going to commit myself perfectly to the Lord. And then I'm going to have that rest and that peace that passes all understandings. We have to work on it. We have to commit to it. We have to wait patiently on the Lord. And if you turn, you can turn in your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 10. We'll start in verse 38. I found this very interesting. Rest in the Lord. I'm going to wait patiently. So this is Mary and Martha it's the story of them, Mary and Martha. And it says in verse 38, now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary. This is where we rest in the Lord, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. I was thinking, if I want to rest in the Lord, I need to be at his feet. I need to be sitting there worshiping him, and I need to be resting in him. He's going to be my rest. And these altars, if you come to the altar and you sit there and you just get on your knees, or at home in your prayer closet, if you get on your knees and you sit at Jesus' feet and you commune with him, he's going to give you that rest. And also in Luke, if you turn back a couple chapters to Luke chapter 8, it's the man at the tombs. Starting in verse 26, I'm going to read verse 26 and 27, and I'm going to skip down to 35. So this is Christ and his disciples. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to the land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils a long time, and wear no clothes, never abode in any house but in tombs. And when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, therefore, torment me not. So we see there that this man, he was naked. He didn't have any clothes. He was possessed of devils. And people, they couldn't, it says in other places that, and it even says here that they couldn't chain him down. Every time if they chained him down, he would break the chains and he would get away. But if you jump down to 35, you see that This is after Christ had already sent the devils out of him. The townspeople went back and said, hey, this is what happened. He sent the devils into the pigs, and they went to the sea, come look at this. And then they went out to see what was done. This is the villagers that came out to see what was done. And they came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed. Here it is, sitting at the feet of Jesus. What happened? Just a couple verses earlier, he was tormented. He was nobody could chain him down. But now they see that he's sitting at the feet of Jesus. What happened? We see in the middle there, he met Jesus. That's where it is. It came from. He got that rest. He was sitting there resting in the Lord because he met Jesus. So I was thinking, I want to trust in the Lord. I want to delight myself in the Lord. I want to commit my way into the Lord. And I want to rest in the Lord. And I'm going to wait patiently at his feet. That's where it all comes from. If I can't wait patiently, and if I look in some other places besides at his feet, it's not going to work like it's supposed to. We're not going to get that rest, and we're not going to be able to trust in the Lord and delight ourselves and commit to him. So it takes resting at his feet and communing with Jesus himself.